Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Well, joining me now is Social Democrat TD for Dublin Rathdown, Sinead Gibney, and she's here to talk about her father's final book, the late Professor Mike Gibney, one of Ireland's best known nutritionists, whose posthumous work in defence of bread takes aim at what he saw as the rise of populist science around ultra-processed foods. Sinead, thank you so much for being with us. This book, it was almost complete when your dad passed away. He had been working on it. Can you talk me through his final couple of years?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so Dad had this is one of a series of popular science books that Dad published across his lifetime. And all of them took, you know, the work that he did in a very rigorous, evidence-based scientific way and created, I think, very helpful messaging for the layperson to consume around, pardon the pun, sorry, around different public health and food topics. And this one was around public health or, sorry, ultra-processed foods. And I think in the last couple of years of his life in particular, he really started to get quite upset at, you know, some of the very populist messaging that came out. And I think what he would have seen as a very kind of simplified vision of how we should help people make dietary decisions. And so that, like, obesity and public health were the two biggest areas of Dad's work in the field of nutrition. But he was a really eminent, very well respected professor of human nutrition for many, many decades. So I have to say it was interesting being his daughter and being in the family to see kind of, you know, how that changed over that time, you know, because Dad wrote a book in the 80s called Nutrition, Diet and Health, you know, decades before people would have understood what they now see as the term nutritionist. And I mean, of course, now you can become a nutritionist after a 6-week weekend course, you know, and it wasn't that Dad kind of objected to that. He, I think, was always very happy that there was more mainstream discourse around food and public health and all of those topics. But I think what he did have an issue with was his kind of version of evidence-based public health advice versus the populism that we see. And
he draws parallels with political populism.
Absolutely.
Trump himself specifically mentions.
Yeah. So at the very start of the book, he positions it in that way. He talks about political populism and compares it to what he sees as this kind of food-based populism and scientific populism. I suppose not just in the area of food, actually, but all across science, where we now have social media and so many people who kind of, you know, delve into these topics themselves and just decide that they are the right person to promulgate and tell you what you should or shouldn't eat. Whereas all Dad said all along was you just need the right evidence behind it, you know, and really kind of to do anything else is irresponsible.
Did he think there was a lot of scaremongering around food choices that people were making?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, again, this goes way, way back. So Dad wrote another book called Something to Chew On, which challenged controversies in food and health. That was the subtitle. And within that, he spoke very publicly, and he did this throughout his career on various things, but on organic foods. And Dad had no issue with organic foods. But what he did have an issue with is claims made by those in the organic lobby who said that an organic carrot is any more nutritionally of value than a traditionally farmed carrot, because that is just not true. There are other things that organic farming brings, and he would never deny any of that. But as a nutritionist, he took real umbrage with the idea that you could say that. And ultra-processed is the same, but actually it's a bit more complex. And I mean, I'm coming at this as a layperson, but a layperson, I suppose, who is raised by a nutritionist. So I do understand a lot more of the terminology, perhaps. But I do, I mean, come at this book as a layperson. And for me, it's not just about ultra-processed foods. It's actually about food classification and the food classification systems that underpin the ultra-processed movement, if you like. And when I say the ultra-processed movement, I mean those who are against ultra-processed foods. Okay. Those food classification systems are just inconsistent and they're poorly evidenced.
Was he trying to get this book finished? Did he know you know, that his death was impending.
Yeah, yeah. So so Dad died in February of last year, February 2024. And we, in the last few weeks before he died, basically, yeah, he had about, like, essentially 8 of a 9 chapter book written. And so he asked myself and my husband to help him start the process of self-publication. He knew he wouldn't have the time to do the peer-reviewed process of his other books, which would have been published by UCD Press and Cambridge Press before it. So he knew he had to embark on a different route. So we started that. We signed up to Amazon Self-Publishing, and that's what we used to bring it to publication. So I kind of helped him start it. And then after he died, yeah, I continued the process. And then my sister came on board, who is a professor of nutrition herself. She's actually director of the institute that Dad founded in UCD, the Institute of Food and Health. So between the two of us, we brought it to this point. And indeed, my mum came on board as well.
So it was a real labour of love,
yeah,
then, I would imagine, to get this published. And I imagine, too, a difficult conversation to have with your dad, that he was, you know, able to say to you, I'm not going to be here to get this to the shelf. I need you to do it.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's funny. One of the things I immediately reflected on after Dad died was how important those conversations were, actually, that I had with him. I lost another friend a few years before, very suddenly, a very close friend, and I never had those conversations with her, but I never understood the value that you have with somebody who knows that they're going to die and could talk to you about it and about their frame of mind. And I say that because, like, Dad was at peace, that he had led a really full life, that he was, you know, obviously sad to go, but he had so much positivity. And
you get great comfort from that.
Yeah, I certainly did take a lot of comfort from it, and comfort from knowing that, you know, once he knew that Mum was going to be OK, that we were all, you know, that we were all at peace with him and his life, and that this one project was the one that he couldn't quite get to the finish line, and he knew that it was in our hands. So it absolutely was a labour of love, something that I have, you know, and of course, it's been a very busy couple of years for me, including 2 elections in my first year as a TD. So
because you were selected to run just a week after he passed.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I was leaving my job as Dad died as chief commissioner in IREC, and I was selected to run for Europe a week later, which, for anyone who knows the process, it's a whirlwind, you know, and then straight into the general election after, and then straight into TD. So, yeah, it has been for me like I don't know that I've honestly processed my dad's death, because it's just been so busy. And then this has been this kind of thing that I've just had to push and push and push, like self-publishing, you know, for anybody interested in the process. It's tough. Like, you have to drive it. You sign up for a package. Amazon will give you a certain amount, but you are the person who drives it. So it was quite tough and challenging to just keep that moving. And myself and my sister just kept our shoulders to the wheel and kept at it and kept at it. And of course, she's uniquely placed to bring that expertise.
Being now, Sinead, that you can get a bit of space to grieve. Do you think that's important?
I do. I mean, I certainly think, like, Tuesday was the launch, and it was a beautiful evening with a lot of friends and family and colleagues of Dad's around, and essentially, you know, in some ways, like another funeral or a memorial, you know, to remember him by. So I think this is a moment. It's a moment of closure. It's another stage of the goodbye that we all have when we say goodbye to loved ones. Yeah.
Lovely. In Defence of Bread by Professor Mike Gibney, Sinead Gibney, his daughter. Thanks so much for coming into us and talking to us about his work and that book.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.